Hello and welcome to Podiatric Pediatric Podcasts. Today I'm going to be talking to you about fatty acid oxidation defects. So I'm going to be talking to you about the physiology of fat, because this is something that is really important. And for those of you who are sitting exams, this process is happening all throughout your body, and it's really, really important to have a grasp of this and some of the pathologies that can result from problems with these processes. So first of all, just to make you aware, one of the fatty acid oxidation defects, the most common one, is called MCAD, and we're going to talk about that. It's part of your newborn screening. And 1 in 10,000 individuals will have MCAD. 1 in 100,000 people will have beta thalassemia major. And between 1 in 5,000 to 10,000 will have hemophilia A. You'll know about hemophilia A. You'll know about beta thalassemia major. And it is in part a failing of medical school curriculum throughout the world that you won't know or may not be familiar with MCAD. So we're going to talk about why this is important. So MCAD is the most common fatty acid oxidation defect. So why am I going to talk to you about it? Well, this is a failure, if you like, of your mitochondria to do something that we call beta oxidation. So fatty acid beta oxidation means a few things. So oxidation, as you can imagine, means to add oxygen, or means loss of electrons. And beta, your beta carbon of your fatty acid, is the second carbon attached to a functional group. So a bit of kind of organic chemistry. The first carbon attached to a functional group is called your alpha carbon. The second one's called your beta carbon. So it's oxidation at beta carbon. It's really crucial because it actually releases energy and provides acetyl-CoA, okay, that gives you ketogenesis, which are important form of energy, especially during starvation or fasting. So if you can imagine physiologically, if you had glycogen depletion, and this can be during fasting, these can be patients on a ketogenic diet to lose weight. Once your glycogen stores are depleted for those reasons, your peripheral tissues need a different form of energy. So they actually switch to using energy derived from fatty acid oxidation, fatty acid beta oxidation, to preserve glucose to be utilised by the brain. So your brain can also use ketone bodies as well as a form of energy. So ketone bodies are a really important form of energy when you're fasting. And it's one of the things that people talk about with intermittent fasting as an approach for all people, as a way of eating and structuring your eating, because then you'll use these fatty acids when you're glycogen depleted. So your medium and short chain fatty acids, all that I'm talking about when I talk about the length of a fatty acid, the number of carbons it's got. So short chain fatty acids have got less carbons than medium chain, they've got less carbons than long chain fatty acids. So these are going to just passively diffuse across your mitochondrial membrane, okay? And these diffuse across independent of carnitine transport, okay, which is important. And these are activated to some ester molecules in the mitochondrial matrix. Okay, so we're just, fatty acid oxidation is a series of reactions that are really, really important. And MCAD is the enzyme that's deficient, okay, medium chain acyl coenzyme A dehydrogenase. It's just a deficiency of an enzyme that's involved in dehydrogenation of some fatty acids that are between 4 and 12 carbons. So we call them medium chains, so short chain less than 4 carbons long, 4 to 12 are medium chain fatty acids. Okay? So each bit of this pathway shortens the chain by two carbons, okay? And it produces acetyl-CoA and actually some other important things like FADH and NADH. They're really important for your electron transport chain. So beginning to build up a picture about what may happen to these patients with MCAD. So if you've got deficiency of this enzyme, you have a problem with energy supply to your peripheral tissues. So you don't have as much ketogenesis. So these patients will have hypoketotic hypoglycemia. So the normal response to hypoglycemia is to produce ketones. But because they can't produce ketones, they'll be hypoketotic. That's often the giveaway in exams. And it will actually increase your dependency on glucose because you can't use medium-chain fatty acids as an alternative energy supply. So what will you get? Well, you'll get hypoketotic hypoglycemia, you get metabolic acidosis, you'll get liver disease as well. And this can actually progress to coma and even death. And a lot of patients with the old Reye syndrome that was associated with aspirin probably actually had MCAD. Okay, so that's really, really important. And that's what we're going to talk about. So, fatty acid oxidation defects, MCAD. So it can present in the neonatal period with cardiomyopathy because fatty acids are really, really important for your heart. In children and infants, it can present with liver dysfunction and hypoketotic hypoglycemia. Why do you get hypoketotic hypoglycemia? Because you can't produce ketones. You can't have beta oxidation of fatty acids, ketones as a byproduct. The management of MCAD is very simple. You avoid fasting. You give them carnitine supplements, and we'll talk about why you give carnitine supplements later on in the podcast. And really aggressive management during intercurrent illness, lots and lots of sugar, because we don't want them to be in a position of glycogen depletion and have to rely on fatty acids because they can't beta oxidize fatty acids properly. Okay. Fat is needed as an energy supply during fasting or increased energy demands. Fatty acids are released from storage in your adipose tissue, and then they undergo beta oxidation, okay? And beta oxidation is a process by which we go from acyl-CoA, and we end up with acetyl-CoA tricarboxylic acid cycle. So MCAD is really, really important, okay? And depending on what enzyme is deficient, we can have lots and lots of different problems in this situation. So all I want you to think about today is fatty acid oxidation defects are problems with certain enzymes that often give you issues with different chains of fatty acids, be that long chain, medium chain, short chain even, in very rare situations. Okay? So beta oxidation is crucial, okay? It's a crucial source of energy in your mitochondria. It generates reducing agents, like we said, FADH and NADH, which are electron donors, and very important in your electron transport chain to generate ATP. Okay, so NAD, FAD, really important in these processes because they are reducing agents, okay? Yeah, reducing agents. Remember, reduction is gain of electrons, and reducing agents such as FADH will tend to give hydrogen ions. Oxidative phosphorylation then ensues in your electron transport chain. That's how you get ATP. So there's three main patterns of fatty acid oxidation defects. Life-threatening presentations, normally in prolonged fasting in infants. Neonatal causes problems with the heart, so cardiomyopathy. Hypoketotic hypoglycemia, liver dysfunction. You're going to be fed up of me saying that by the end of it. It's called problems with the heart, hypoketotic hypoglycemia, and liver dysfunction. Infantile presentation can be intermittent episodes of lethargy and vomiting, normally associated with intercurrent illness. Inherited, all of them inherited as autosomal recessive conditions. The only fatty acid oxidation defect that is in the newborn screen is MCAD, that also happens to be the most common fatty acid oxidation defect. So it can be picked up by a positive newborn screen, and as a result, tend to do something called their plasma acyl-carnitines that we'll talk about later on. And in MCAD, a particular type of acyl-carnitine called C8 or octanoyl carnitine, meaning octo meaning eight carbons, tends to be elevated. So characteristic elevations in C8 or octanol carnitine, you've got an MCAD. So MCAD is the most common fatty acid oxidation defect. The mortality and morbidity before we started doing newborn screening was about 20%, and that was 5. Clearly made a difference. So often we're looking at vomiting and poor oral intake. That's why it's really important in any child that is presents to your children's assessment unit or A&E, is to do a blood glucose level. If they're vomiting and they've got intercurrent illness, you wouldn't expect them to be hypoglycemic, because normally by the age of being a toddler, they would have well-developed counter-regulatory response and be able to use alternative energy supplies. So acyl-carnitines are biological intermediate chemicals, which is a simple reaction. Acetyl-CoA reacts with carnitine, and you transfer the acetyl bit from acetyl-CoA to the carnitine, and what do you get? Acetyl plus a carnitine gives you an acyl-carnitine. Okay, so that's really the reaction that we're looking for. Okay, and remember, if we think about, we'll talk about the management later on, but with MCAD, what we want to do is we want to give these patients carnitine. So we tend to give these patients 100 milligram per kilogram per day. And the big problem with giving patients carnitine, as is a management strategy in MCAD, is it can give you a fishy odour. Next one we're going to talk about, we talk about medium chain acetyl-CoA dehydrogenase, MCAD. We're going to VL-CAD. So this is VL, meaning very long chain. So if you've got a complete deficiency of this enzyme, you get cardiomyopathy, partial recurrent ketotic hypoglycemia, which is going to bore you, but it's really common for all of the fatty acid oxidation defects. Your plasma acyl carnitines, remember these biological intermediates that we can measure in the blood, can be normal if they're not in a metabolic stress. Why is this important? Because C18 to C20, so your very long chain fatty acids, are really specific for the heart. So the messenger RNA expression is really high in the heart for these fatty acids. And we can actually test for this with something called ACADVL gene, that is an enzyme that, a gene that codes for the enzyme for VL-CAD that is involved in making very long chain fatty acids. So that's that. So that's very long chain. And again, the presentation kind of mixes. The big thing for today is to know about fat physiology. Then we can talk about long chain. Okay, so we've got long chain. So that is LCHAD. So that's long chain. VLCAD is very long chain. So LCHAD is a problem with an enzyme. I'm not going to go into too much detail about it. And it can be associated with something called a trifunctional protein deficiency. Why we need to know about this is if you've got LCHAD deficiency, which is, you know, what the pathology is, you get an increased amount of long chain fatty acids. So if you've got MCAD, you have an increased amount of medium chain fatty acids. If you've got LCHAD, you have an increased amount of long chain fatty acids. And actually this affects the brain. So you have problems with mitochondrial damage to your neurons. With the eyes, you can get problems with your eye, including pigmentary abnormalities, your pancreas, that can give you problems with mitochondrial energy processes in the pancreas. So the trifunctional protein deficiency are three enzymes that are involved in the metabolism and synthesis and degradation of long chain fatty acids. So long chain fatty acids, this is the bit that I always remember about this condition of LCHAD. Mums who are heterozygous carriers, remember this is inherited as autosomal dominant, autosomal recessive, I apologise, which is hence why they're carriers, gives you a high risk of developing acute fatty liver with pregnancy and HELLP syndrome. Remember HELLP syndrome, hemolysis, elevated liver enzymes and low platelets. So mums who are heterozygous carriers have an increased risk of acute fatty liver pregnancy and HELLP syndrome. Again, the most severe presentation of this condition is rapidly progressive cardiomyopathy. You can also get liver dysfunction as well. The survival rate is worst for your trifunctional protein deficiency, because it's problems with three enzymes rather than LCHAD, that's a problem with one. And as a consequence, you can't produce acetyl-CoA to enter your TCA cycle, which is the big problem. And yeah, that's the most important bit for that one. You might be asking the question at this point, why learn about this stuff? The importance of fatty acids cannot be understated as an alternative energy supply when you're glycogen deplete and fasting. If you imagine you've got a fatty acid, and the pathway normally is then fatty acids will enter your cell membrane, or your cytosol, as acyl-CoA. That will then have to be transported to your inner mitochondrial membrane, okay, which is normally through carnitine transporters. And when it's finally in the intermitochondrial matrix, it can undergo beta oxidation to the TCA cycle. So carnitine transport disorders are problems with getting fatty acids, long chain fatty acids mainly, across the mitochondrial inner membrane. So there's a few enzymes. So you first of all have a covalent bond. Remember, covalent bonds are where two atoms share a pair of electrons. So you get a covalent bond linking your carnitine to your CPT1. Don't remember the name, it's just an enzyme. We then have to have sodium-dependent transporters that get it into the mitochondria. And we finally remove acyl-CoA by another enzyme called CP2. So if you're deficient in these enzymes, for example, CPT1, that we said the function of CPT1 is covalent bonding of carnitine, that's your first step. You'll get elevated free plasma carnitine, and you'll get decreased long chain acyl carnitines, which makes sense because you're lacking the enzyme. So elevated free plasma carnitine, because you can't bind the carnitine to CPT1, so it remains free. So that's why your free levels go high. You can get translocase deficiency. So your translocase is how it gets into the matrix. That's the important carrier, but it's clinically got the same acyl carnitine profile as CPT2. Okay, so CPT2 can give you exercise intolerance, okay, and a few other things. The ammonia tends to go up in some of the fatty acid oxidation disorders, and that's why it's really important. So if you've got a problem with your carnitine transport system, for example, in this group of disorders, you get accumulation of fatty acid CoA in your cytosol. So remember what we talked about, your cytosol is the main bit of your intermembrane space, okay, which is important. So if you get accumulation of unoxidized fatty acids, these tend to inhibit your urea cycle. What does your urea cycle do in one phrase is get rid of ammonia, okay? So if that happens, and if you have problems with transportation of long-chain fatty acids, one of the important things that we talked about was NAGS, so that's N-acetyl-acetylglutamate synthetase. That can be inhibited by having this defective transport. And that is a really important activator of urea cycle. So you get inhibition of your urea cycle, which is why your ammonia can go up in fatty acid oxidation defects. Okay. One patient that I've seen with carnitine transporter deficiency, also known as primary carnitine deficiency, again, hypoketotic hyperglycemia, high ammonia, liver dysfunction, cardiomyopathy, actually gives you a low free carnitine. Okay. And the treatment of this is to give some carnitine. If you often do the carnitine levels in mum and in the baby, and if mum's got a low amount of carnitine, rule out whether she's got a vegan and she's got a very restricted low protein diet. That's enough about the disorders and the complex biochemistry, how you manage these conditions, which is the crucial bit of today's podcast. You need to avoid fasting, because then you won't be dependent on fatty acids as much as an energy supply. You need to aggressively treat these patients during an illness, and you need to supplement them with carnitine, okay? So we need to work closely when these patients are diagnosed with a metabolic dietitian and a metabolic consultant. You need to avoid fasting. So infants need to be fed every 3 hours with no more than 4 hours of fasting. Okay. After infancy, it's important that children avoid fasting for more than 10 to 12 hours overnight. So you need to pay attention about how often they're sleeping for. You need to give them an emergency treatment letter. So if they've got increased metabolic stress, we need to give them carbohydrate-rich fluids every 3 to 4 hours. If they need to come into hospital, they need to have intravenous fluids with 10% dextrose at 1.5 times their maintenance rate, with appropriate electrolytes as well. Supplementation of carnitine. Okay, some people debate the importance of carnitine, but patients may develop secondary carnitine deficiency because fatty acids conjugate with carnitine that we said form that covalent bond and are then excreted as acyl carnitine. So carnitine supplementation is often really important. So how do we treat MCAD? Regular meals, regular snacks. We restrict medium chain triglycerides that are found in things like coconut oil in patients with MCAD. We also pay attention to patients' formulas that they're on. So for example, Similac, okay, certain types of Similac are 100% medium chain triglycerides. Other things such as NeoK are 33%. So therefore, the formula they're on is really important. For patients with MCAD, we give them an emergency regimen that they're to follow if they've got increased metabolic stress. They often have glucose polymer with some fluids mixed in with it. And diorolite and things like that, oral rehydration solution that are about 15%, 12%, 50% carbohydrate. Things like Maxidule can be given as well as your glucose polymer. Really important to give them plenty of sugar if they're really unwell. If they come to hospital, they need to have 10% dextrose. They need to be given 1.5 times maintenance rate. Long-chain fatty acid oxidation defects, similar principles to MCAD, avoid the fasting, give them carnitine, aggressive treatment during illness, give them fat restriction, and you give them MCT, okay? Their problem is with long-chain fatty acids, so they have the enzymes to break down medium chains. You actually give them MCT, and you restrict MCT and MCAD. You limit their long-chain fatty acids as a substrate, which prevents the beta oxidation in the catabolic state. In patients that are symptomatic, you discontinue breastfeeding and you change the rule slightly if they're asymptomatic with mild symptoms. MCT supplements can reverse cardiomyopathy and things like VLCAD, so very long chain problems. Walnut oil can help with giving them essential fatty acid, because remember, these children, you're restricting their intake of certain chains of fatty acids, but it's important that you supplement their essential fatty acids. Things like walnut oil can give you quite a lot of linoleic acid, which is really, really crucial, okay? And luckily, isn't too high in terms of long-chain fat. Exercise, often in these cases, if someone with a long-chain fatty acid problem exercises, they'll utilise glycogen from muscle to provide energy in the first 20 minutes to half an hour of exercise, and then you're going to tap into your fatty acids. Make sure that they've had some MCT, so some medium-chain triglycerides, and something like Gatorade, Lucozade, etc. Before exercise and after, to give them that glucose to use instead of tapping into using long-chain fatty acids and beta-oxidizing those. Future therapies, the last bit of today's podcast. Tribeptanoin is a triglyceride that contains 3-tri, sometimes called triheptanoin, but tribeptanoin, 3-7-carbon-chain fatty acids. It's hydrolyzed in your small intestine to form heptanoic acid. Heptanoic acid undergoes beta oxidation, acetyl-CoA, enters your TCA cycle, and therefore can give you energy. Great. And ketone bodies are used to generate ATP. So the conclusions of today, fatty acid oxidation defects, really important. This today was a revision of your fatty acid oxidation and fat homeostasis. What you do, you give them carnitine, so at risk of secondary carnitine deficiency. You avoid fasting, because fasting is when you tap into your fatty acids, and you aggressively treat them during illness. These patients can die of these conditions. So in any patient that is acutely unwell, think of inherited metabolic disease as one of your differentials. Okay. And treat accordingly. And remember, these conditions do exist. And certainly you think about the number of patients that we've got, and it's not an uncommon thing to come across. And remember, if patients and parents say, we've got an emergency regimen, listen to them, is my take home point. Read the emergency regimen and do what it says, okay? If it says 10% dextrose at 1.5 times the rate, whatever, do that, okay? These parents know the management. They've been counselled extremely well, and they will know more about these conditions than you will. This session has been educating patients about and medical staff and medical professionals about the importance of understanding about fatty acid oxidation defects. And I hope today's been useful. So we've talked about MCAD. We've talked about LCHAD, which is the longer chain, and VLCAD, that is the very long chain problems. So I hope today's been really useful. Remember the important things in this case, and if in doubt, follow the emergency regimen and give plenty of sugar. Thank you.